Change in language seems interesting in retrospect and often worrisome in the present. Here are the first lines of the Beowulf poem, written down around 1000 CE. Hwat wegardena in yeradachum theod kuninga thrumjafrunin, hutha athelingus elin fremeden. Yes, that is English 1000 years ago, a version of English far removed from the English we speak today. The poet Seamus Heaney translates those lines as, "So, the Spear Danes in days gone by and the kings who ruled them had courage and greatness. We have heard of those princes' heroic campaigns." In this translation, we can hear a few echoes of the Old English. Kuninga is now kings. Dagum is now days. Pronunciation changes in English vowels make some of the echoes harder to hear. We becomes we. Who becomes how. What becomes what. Some Old English words have died, such as elin, which meant bravery, and aveling, which meant prince, replaced by new words. Other Old English words have changed meaning over time. For example, what, or what, could be used as an introductory word in Old English, the way that so can be used now. We still have the word what, but it has lost that function. In retrospect, we find this kind of language change interesting. Words fall out of use, pronunciations shift, words change meaning, new words are borrowed. The verb decimate, borrowed from Latin, used to mean to kill one in every 10. And the word wife referred to any woman, not just married women, which is why we talk about midwives, women who are with the mother at birth, and old wives' tales, which are old women's tales. We used to pronounce the G in gnat, gnat, and the K and GH in knight, knicht, which is why those letters remain in the word spelling to this day. How fun and fascinating is this museum of earlier forms of English? Yet, when similar changes happen in today's language, we often find them anxiety-provoking. We may worry that the changes signal laziness or decay in the language. For example, how could we allow the adjective unique to come to mean highly unusual rather than one of a kind? If you think this is the result of sloppy usage, please remember that it is not any more sloppy than decimate losing its specific numerical meaning. Given the ways that unique has been used for decades to emphasize how unusual something is, I mean, it is one of a kind, it is not surprising that it has broadened in meaning over the past 100 plus years. The word really did something similar. It originally described something that was real, and over time became a more general intensifier. By the way, very did the same thing. So back to unique. If we need to specify that something is one of a kind, which sometimes we do, we can say it is one of a kind. Yes, that is two more syllables, but it's very doable. And given that unique is now ambiguous as to whether the thing we're describing is highly unusual or truly one of a kind, we have two choices. We could rail against a change that has already happened, as I said, starting over 100 years ago. Or, if we want to ensure clarity as speakers and writers, we can shift our usage to avoid any ambiguity.